Blog Talk Radio.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets fucking.
Oh, shit. I just killed the intro.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Full Spectrum Radio. I don't know what in the hell Dennis is doing.
I don't have like the little trackpad thing on my laptop. It's extremely sensitive. I hovered a finger, and apparently I was right.
That was
the music stop, and I'm looking at the screen going, what the hell happened? Oh, crap, I did.
That was the start of sale, and then it turns into me.
Pushing me a lotion on his skin.
Fuck it.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Fall Up Special.
Welcome to Lubriderm Radio.
I am your goof up, CPR Dennis. That is the one wondering why the hell he's even associated with me. That would be Matt. Oh, crap.
Yeah, remember that conversation about crack last night?
Yeah, exactly. But, see, I don't have anything to do with crack, but I will tell you this. I have been in there playing with the Keurig. Yeah, screw you, Keurig. Whose idea is it that an 11 a quarter ounce cup is a travel cup? Where am I traveling with that little piece of crap, 11 ounces? Really? So needless to say, I am a little buzzed up on caffeine right now. I'm sitting here drinking a Coke. I've had two big cups of coffee just trying to get my crap together and, well, you see how that worked.
Yeah, apparently your jittery-ass hands decided to play with the board.
I was scrolling down to see what the intro song was, make sure we were still set for sale, and, well, apparently we were momentarily until I screwed up.
Apparently your ears don't work either. When I hear the dun, 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 that, yeah, okay, that's sale. It's like, dude, hold on. How long have we been doing this show?
3.5 weeks. If you took that whole year and a half that we've done the show and you compressed it into just one long-ass show at 3.5 weeks consecutive, nonstop.
Did you actually do the math, or that's a guesstimate?
No, that's just the coffee talking.
Well, I was going to say, you hear the intro of sale after this long. For us, it's like a Pavlovian response.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of like when you hear that plastic wrapper jingle, just right off the bat, man, they're looking at you like, really? We're ready? Come on.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world, ladies and gentlemen. I'm only a slight bit of a crackhead.
So, what were you up to this weekend? How was your weekend?
My weekend was fantastic. I went to, and we'll actually be speaking with them shortly, but I went down to a place in Newport News called the Boxwood Inn. I don't have much history on the place, and I'm hoping that, you know, once our guests call in, which is Scott and Tim, they'll be able to give us a better idea on some of the history of the location. But they hosted a Paracon there, and I got to meet some teams that I haven't met before. I've spoken with, we've actually had, like Lyle Lotz from Twisted Paranormal Society, we've had on here. He was there, and his wife, Tana. a couple other team members. But they did an investigation overnight. Well, I don't know if it was overnight. I wasn't able to stick around. I had other things to attend to. But it was a pretty damn neat location, to be honest with you. And if what I picked up energy-wise in there worked out and they were able to get anything on the evidence, it should have been a pretty damn cool investigation.
Yeah, I'm interested in
the... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I'm interested to hear what happened. I talked to you when you had just left there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, now, I'm assuming this place is from the early 1900s, just from the decor, the carpentry, and so forth. There's more than one spirit there, I'll tell you that. I got to interact with a couple of them as I walked around. That was definitely cool. I'm hoping like hell that they got some decent evidence came out of it, you know, from their overnight investigation or, well, investigation period. But then I went to a very dear friend, actually my best friend. I don't know if she's listening tonight, but Carrie, if you're listening, I had a blast last weekend, and happy belated happy birthday. I won't say how young you are, but let's just say she celebrated the 21st anniversary of her 29th birthday. How's that?
and you know
way,
what the hell? I got to do it anyway. Even I don't see her on the board, but if she is listening, hi, Terry. Happy birthday. Belated. All right, I'm good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the, Sunday, one of the best posts I think I saw on my Facebook news feed was from Terry saying, holy crap, I seem to remember something about body shots and a skim board or surf board. yes, Terry, there were body shots. You were the body. yeah, it was quite entertaining. But
so,
yeah, we had a great time.
Speaking of weekends, you got a pretty decent one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I do, actually. I've got a fantastic weekend coming up. Saturday, I am going to go to a wonderful little location that Virginia has for us, St. Albans Asylum. Or St. Albans Sanatorium. It's been known as half a dozen things. But I'm going there with Stephen Dills and his team, which is Transcend Paranormal. Ryan is also going to join us. He's from All Seeing Paranormal Society. So we've got three different teams represented. And I actually have my niece, who is 17, is going with us also. Now, she's not convinced that she can be scared. I'm hoping, and you know, I've kind of reached out a little bit psychically and spoken with some of the spirits there and told them, feel free, she's the one that you want to make where it depends by the night's over. So we'll see how that works out. But
I still, yeah, May 3rd.
Exactly, and I was going to jump right to it, and you beat me to it. But it does come in perfect timing that I'm going to St. Albans this weekend. Next weekend, I have to return to St. Albans, and I'm going to be doing a speaking engagement there. Jason Stanton is doing a event there, which there's still some tickets available. It's $65. And I'll tell you, for $65, you get all day in the location. You get to listen to all the speakers, all the different vendors and everything that are there, and an overnight investigation. That's incredible. you know, to be able to do, you know, the overnight investigation is not a separate charge. It's all in that whole package. You get everything. You definitely want to check that one out, folks. That one's May 3rd.
If I remember correctly, too, the investigation is from 8 till 2 or something, but if you want to stick around, or if it does carry over, they're cool with it, so it could go till 4 or 5. It just, you know, just depends how the night goes, if I remember right.
Yeah, there's no telling how late we'll end up going, but I think it's going to be pretty fantastic. But, you know, so that, like I said, it comes in at perfect timing. So definitely on next week's show, ladies and gentlemen, you'll want to listen in, find out what happened this week while I'm doing an overnight at St. Albans Asylum. And you never know. Maybe I'm the one that gets to leave wearing a Depends. But,
well, see, so you get to cheat, though. That's why it's not fair for you.
What do you mean by that?
Because you get all your intuitions and all that stuff. That's not fair. See, me, I walk in the place blind.
Well, the only way it's good for me to have the abilities and so forth is if they're willing to speak to me that way. I mean, I still go into locations and I don't know what the hell I'm going to run into. You know, just because I have abilities doesn't mean I automatically know everything that's going on in a location. So,
yeah, true.
You know, I still get blindsided sometimes and it's like, holy shit, you know. Like my favorite location where I get called an effer every single time.
Because they know you.
You never know. Well, yeah. They obviously. But
it's so simple and so stupid, but it's still the easiest stab I can do at the drop of a hat when you bring that up.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't require a thought.
Well, yeah, and I don't really have any really cool stabs on you. There's nothing.
It puts the lotion on its skin, or else it gets fucking. You know,
any more stabs, me, prick?
Oh, so you decided to ruin more of the show? I see.
I remember one drunken night. Just remember one drunken night at a Paracon, and you're not gonna live it down.
Hey, blame the ghost hunters for that one.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, speaking of Paracons and ghost hunters and everything, you know, like I said, tonight's guest, we've got Scott Spangler. Hopefully, Tim Hoover is going to be joining us also. Now, they're both from Seven Cities Paranormal. And I've got Scott on the board. Let me bring him in and see if he's ready to chat with us. Scott, are you with us? Are you with us? Well, damn it, I unmuted and it muted him back. All right, let's
Hello.
Hello.
There he is. Hey. What's going on, Scott? How are you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Huh? Can't complain?
I don't even know how to answer, man. I'm screwing everything up. I unmuted you, then muted you back, and I don't know. So meanwhile, you're sitting over there going, yeah, I'm here. And I'm going, Scott, are you there? Where the hell are you?
Yeah, I'm here. Tim's having some cell phone technical difficulties. He's got a cheap phone, I guess. I don't know what he's doing over there.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I think he's learning how to dial the numbers. He's learning his numbers right now, so he can figure out how to dial the number.
Well, just tell him. It's that 10% rule.
10% rule?
10% rule. You know
what was that? What's that?
You got to be at least 10% smarter than whatever you're screwing with.
Well, that's the problem. I think he's got it. I think he's calling in now.
Yeah, I see him on the board. I want to call him for just a minute, though. Hey, Tim, can you hear me? Tim? Hey, Tim, answer me.
Answer him, Tim.
I can hear you.
What's up?
It's always fun to leave him on mute for a moment and just keep calling him. I am an asshole.
I think they're messing with you, Tim.
Oh, Lord.
All right, Scott, that one was intentional.
I'm going to pre-warn you guys. Dennis has been molesting his Keurig for a little while, so he's wired, he's jittery, his hands are shaking, he's messing up all the audio and all that stuff. So, yeah, it wasn't the fact that he, like, clicked, his hand jittered so hard that he put you back on mute. He's all jacked up on coffee right now. Dennis, I gotta call Hope, and I'm gonna have her do an Office Space copy machine demolition in the yard with you watching on your Keurig.
Well, I mean that's a fine thought, but you're gonna need a new co-host afterwards because. You know, after I beat her bloody senseless with whatever parts remain, she's probably not going to be happy with me. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't fuck with a man's Keurig. It's just not nice. Something, you know, I'd much rather you just beat me like a wet dog. Just leave my Keurig alone so I can drink coffee and recover. I'm going to pick on our guest for a moment. Scott, what is your one addiction in life, and hopefully a legal one? Mine is coffee or Coca-Cola. What is yours?
My one addiction. Oh, boy. Well, I like Coke too. I'm glad you mentioned Coke. I like Coke. Coke is my favorite.
Coca-Cola, he means.
The drink. Oh my God! I can hear a siren in the background.
Everybody would think Southern cities are a bunch of cokeheads.
I ask, what's your one addiction, and you go, "Oh, boys."
I'm glad you brought up Coke.
I have so many of them. I don't know. I really don't. I like cider. I like cider. Not like the apple cider. Not like apple cider like your grandma cooked or made or whatever. I'm talking about like the hard cider.
Like
the Reds or the Angry Orchard or the, you know, Woodchuck or the, you know, that kind of cider.
All right.
I like that. When I drink, that's what I drink most of the time.
Now, I was going to say, that's not what I bought you this weekend.
No, I haven't had Bud Light this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think they had the others. All right, and welcome to the hot seat, Tim. What is yours? You've had a moment to think about it, and just remember, there may be law enforcement listening.
I guess mine's got to be sweets. Now I'm kind of a fat guy, so sweets is probably my biggest addiction. Chocolate, I'd say.
So you're one of the people that I had to do battle with in Walmart for the 50% off Easter candy, huh?
Right. Yeah. I've been beating up little kids for some chocolate.
Evidently, there was a few of you beat me to the candy aisle because there was only like 3 solid chocolate bunnies left. Of course, I left, so did they.
I'd smack Scott for one of those chocolate ones with the peanut butter in it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Yes, delicious.
Easter candy. I didn't even have any Easter candy. I didn't have one piece of Easter candy. That sucks.
Yeah, not even, I didn't even have a peep.
I mean, me either. I didn't have a peep either. I'm not a big fan of peeps, by the way.
Well, it's kind of, see, the Easter candy-wise, I mean, marshmallow coated in sugar that makes your teeth hurt and you want to punch them out of your own mouth because it's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's kind of a formality. You kind of have to at least have a peep or throw one in the microwave because that's fun, too.
I've never tried that. But don't tell me, because I want to do it.
Yeah, you're in someone else's microwave. Believe me, you don't want to do that shit in your own. It's like putting an
I'm going to try it.
Well, you can do it with a regular marshmallow, too, but the peep multiplies by at least 1,000 to maybe 10,000 fold. You have a ginormous peep in your microwave.
That's awesome, man. I'm going to try that. I got to find me some peeps. I hope Walmart's got a couple of peeps left.
I do have a quick story about that.
Wait. I have to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, please make sure your children are away from the room right now and don't listen. And
yeah.
Sit at home.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs. But no, I went to a buddy's house and I bought 2 12 packs of peeps and he was running around like crazy, and he was having an Easter party. And I thought it'd be funny. I took the cellophane off. I left the cardboard in. I put both sets of peeps in there and set the microwave for 3 minutes. And
that's crazy.
The end of that story, though, is I had to buy him a new microwave. It actually pushed through the top vent. And down in the motor.
Oh my God!
I thought it was going to be funny, and I was like, knee slapper, whatever. But no, it seriously, it got into the motor. Everything smelled like burnt marshmallow. It was horrible.
That's awesome.
And again, boys,
single handed.
Do not do this at home.
Yeah. Peeps,
parents.
Peeps single-handedly ruined that party. Well, with a little bit of me, involved too. But yeah.
And parents, if your children do this at home, please direct all curse words and emails to Matt, CPRMattFacebook.com.
Oh man.
Yeah, we can get some kids in trouble.
That's a good thing about being a conniving adult is to teach the kids how to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well,
as long as they're not your kids.
Exactly. That's why I'm so ecstatic now about being a grandfather. Because, like, they bring him here, let me screw him up for a couple hours, then they take him back. They're going to hate me.
That's wild.
Remember that statement that your parents made to you? I hope one day you have kids just like you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm going to have grandkids just like me. And then I will remind my children, you know when I said I hope you have kids just like me? You do, and it's my damn fault.
Yeah, why do you think I'm not a father? I am absolutely petrified.
I think it's got a lot
to
more
a
to do than that.
that I could go so many directions with that. I'm just going to shut up. Continue.
I'm wondering,
just,
do sheep prefer if you use a non-latex, like sheepskin condom?
Yeah, they prefer sheepskin. It's a little more natural. Oh,
we've gone from peeps to condoms.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, no,
hold on. Show. All right.
Hold on. We didn't just
go
from
peeps
to
guys for some reason.
We didn't just go from peeps to condoms. We went from peeps to fornication with sheep.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Lord.
Happy belated Easter, everybody. The lambs and the bunnies and everything are safe now. Your children thought of everything above and beyond what Easter was is now completely ruined.
When they said you ought to wear sheepskin condoms, they didn't mean keep the sheep in the skin.
Got the co-kid, and they think so, oh, screw sheets.
Scott, Tim, how was the event at the Boxwood? I'm gonna bring it back. I'm sorry.
All right, let's bring it back. I gotta start laughing though first. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We should have had peeps at the Paracon, Tim. That's what we should have had. We should have had peeps.
Hey, there was a bunch of peeps there, man. I see them.
No
sheep, but they were sheep.
No sheep.
No sheep. No, not sheep, peeps.
That's wild.
I'm
done now. Oh, my God. All right, guys, you have a good show. I'm going to check out.
And FCC, if you're listening.
All right, Dennis, serious face, put down the coffee. all right. So how was the event at the Boxwood? I know Dennis was there, and I had talked to him while he was there. He said it was phenomenal, but couldn't stick around for the investigation. So how'd the event go in your guys' opinion?
Investigation went really well that night. We had 15 people. And, me and Scott split them up half and half. We actually got some pretty good evidence through the SP7. We had a ball moving on its own. It was a pretty good night, a pretty active night. It seems like there when it's something busy going on there, the activity is higher. I don't know why that is, but it's always been that way since I've been going there.
And that's, you know, we've had a theory along those lines as well, that, you know, if it's a location where you get a lot of people and a lot of excitement, a lot of activity going on, does it push energy into the environment that they can garner from and, you know, give us more activity?
Right.
Of course, unless you get, you know, 15 or 20 different locations and you do them repeatedly, you know, one time with an event, one time without, and see what the difference is, see if they can actually pick up the energy that the living put
right
into that location.
Because right. The owner, she tells me, she'll call me all the time. She said, we had a wedding this weekend, and this happened. The fireplace turned on by itself, and she says all kinds of, when they have events there, all kinds of weird stuff happened.
What kind of fireplace do they have?
They have a gas fireplace.
Is it a gas log or is it just a burner to start the logs?
No, it's a gas log.
Yeah.
Self-igniting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it turn on. And
yes, it's the type you have the pilot. It's always lit.
Okay.
The pilot is constantly lit.
I installed fireplaces for almost 7 years, so that's why I'm kind of interjecting on this. With those on a pilot igniter, one thing I would check is the diaphragm and the valve. So if the diaphragm goes bad, the fireplace will ignite itself without turning a knob or anything. It'll let enough gas through to where it will turn on.
Right. That's what I was telling her. I said it's probably just some kind of a explanation. And she called me 1 week and said that she was in a room. She felt the whole room smelled like cigar smoke. And she'll call me every time something happens. And there was one door that no one ever opened, and someone opened it by accident. She said it was the door to the
Simon's office.
Yeah, and she said once they opened the door, it must have made him mad, because she said that's when the fireplace turned on and she smelled cigar smoke in there all night. She said it must have angered him because that door's never been opened for, 20 years, I think she said.
The other thought, is there a thermostat control on the fireplaces?
Say what now?
Is there a thermatic control, like a thermostat for the fireplaces? I know the two gas log places I'm putting in.
I don't think
right
so.
Now have thermostats.
No, it just has it. You can turn it up or down, but the pilot's always lit. So when you turn it down, it's lit, and then you can turn it. It's got a rheostat, so it can go higher or lower or whatever.
I told her to get the gas people out to look at it just to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be pretty fascinating if there's absolutely nothing that can explain it. But it always makes me wonder, with things like that, what it could be.
She said it didn't start until that day they opened the door. So I don't know what it could have caused it.
No telling. It's kind of surprising some of the things that Spirit can do to actually communicate with us.
Right. We got some good stuff from the SB7 up in the attic. When I walked up into the room, and me and Brandon, another investigator, we walked into the room, and I said, "Are you here? Can you identify yourself?" And it said, "No." I said, "Well, if you're not here, then how can you say no?" And it responded back to me and said, "I'm not stupid."
Really?
Like the ghost was getting, yeah, he's like, he said, "I'm not stupid." Scott heard it. It was clear as day. Like,
yeah,
he was getting
smart.
You
got a lot of smart asses.
Yeah. I said, that's what I told him. I said, "I guess you're being a smart ass tonight."
Yeah,
he called you names too.
Yeah, he called me a dick 2 times. We had, it said dick, and then we had a couple names that came through that night. A name Clint came through a few times, and actually he was lighting up the flashlight too. And we were doing a flashlight session. He was lighting up the lights to our questions. So that was pretty active. That was the first time I ever got that name there.
Is there any correlation with the property?
Excuse me?
Is there any correlation with the property? Like, Clint, was he an owner, a patron, or, anything
tried,
at all?
I asked Kathy if she said there was no Clint that was affiliated with the house. She was going to try to find some more information to me, see maybe if it could have been a relative or someone there, but she's going to look that information up for me. That's the first time I ever got that name, Clint, from there.
How many times have you guys been there?
Me personally, I've been going there for 6 years now. I've been going on and off there at least. I investigated there at least once or twice a year back. So I'd say at least I've been there at least 10 times. I think Scott's been there a couple of times. I was with a group, a previous group there.
And I'm actually leading somewhere with this, but from the first time that you were there, have you noticed any sort of evidence activity pickup, or has it been consistent, or do you get more?
It seems like to me that they've got a little more smart, like the smart remarks. I think we're starting to annoy them a bit, because when we first came there, I got an EVP. I said, you have a new owner now. Her name's Kathy, and it repeated her name. It said Kathy, and that was when I told you about the SB7 session I had with her son that passed away. That was one of the first few times we've been there. He still comes through occasionally, So I think it actually could have been him the other night that got smart, because he does come, he'll say smart remarks and things just playing around. So that possibly could have been him. And I asked if it was him, but he never identified himself.
Well, the reason I ask is one theory that I personally have and developed, and Dennis and I have talked a lot about it, is the theory of familiarity. So when, like, if you go to a place repeatedly, and same thing as if you went to somebody's house that you just met and you started hanging out with them,
right,
they're going to get more comfortable and talk to you as opposed to just,
I agree,
you know, oh, you go, yeah, pound around in the dark and asking questions, oh, come talk to me. Well, no, why the hell should I? I don't know who you are.
Right.
But once they figure out who you are, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember him.
Right. Because I do that. I did that several times the last time. You know, this is Tim. I've been coming here a lot talking to you. You know, when you feel comfortable talking to me. Nothing really responded to it. But I think that they do feel more comfortable if they've seen you there and they know you. You know the owners and you've been to the house. And I think they feel more comfortable with you. I agree with you 100% on that.
Still holds true, yes.
Yeah, now, my team's home location, I've been called an effer from the first day there, so I don't think it was a matter of him ever getting comfortable with me. I think he just hates me.
Right.
Hmm.
I told you about the time for about 3 months straight, we got EVPs or something saying it was going to kill Scott. Did I tell you guys about that?
No.
Everywhere we went, it would say that. It says, I'm going to kill Scott. I mean, three months in a row. We thought it might have been something attached to him or something, but all of a sudden it just stopped. So I don't know what was going on with that.
Hmm.
Yeah,
they
wanted to kill
him. No.
Scott's a little more, he's a little more outgoing when he investigates than I am. I'm a little more laid back and quiet. He's a little more in your face about it. So maybe they felt intimidated by him or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be. Now, if I remember correctly, there's railroad tracks
right
beside that location. So it makes me wonder if there was, just a transient spirit that was passing through and,
right,
you happened to catch him on a bad day, perhaps. And that's why he wanted to kill you.
Right. That place was you know, people would get off of the train tracks and they would come over and the place was like when it first opened, it was like a nightclub of the day back then. People would come in and they would have dinner, they'd stay in hotels, they'd dance in there, they'd have parties and drink. It was, you know, so it was kind of like a happy place. So I think maybe some of the spirits that come through there could, you know, be the ones that pass, you know, back and forth, you know, from that time, you know.
Yeah, that very well could be, and maybe that's why they, you know, maybe Scott pissed one of them off, interrupted
right.
the party.
Right. But,
maybe
since then,
Scott pissed him
it
off
hasn't
because
happened.
He was looking for something.
Right.
So, aside from the SB7 responses, any like footsteps or anything like that, noises that you can't justify?
No, it's just the ball. We had a ball sitting down up in the attic, and we had it placed where we know it wouldn't roll, and it actually rolled around. We had it sitting up beside a K2, and it actually rolled around it. So we tried to recreate it several times by stomping on the floor and putting it in the same place, but it didn't do it again. So I actually have it on camera. I'm going to, you know, do some reviewing and see if maybe it could have rolled or somebody could accidentally hit it. But I saw it happen, and I didn't see anybody touch the ball at all.
Hmm. Floor? Off-level? Breeze? Could the floor be off-level or a breeze? Or
There was a draft up there, but yeah. I mean, I wasn't up there at the time the ball moved, but I know there, you know, we had set the ball in one of the rooms up in the attic, and I missed it for the whole time we were up there and for two sessions and never moved. It was a pretty strong draft, but I mean, I don't know where they actually put us.
Jimmy was there. Jimmy saw it. Did you see it? You saw the ball move, or did you already leave? Yeah, but I got it on video, so I'm going to go and review it and make sure, you know, try to debunk it, make sure there's nothing that it could have been naturally.
Yeah, that would, you know, that's kind of one of the first things that we all do, I think, is try to go back and look at everything.
Right.
You know, and hopefully you catch different camera angles on that same location, too.
Yeah, I have it on, I have it on our IR cameras, and actually one of the guest investigators that night, he had a full spectrum camera on it. So he actually gave me his footage too. So I'm going to review both the IR and that full spectrum and see if it matches up. Because like Scott said, it was two sessions afterwards. The ball was in the same place and it didn't move at all. You know, so. I mean, it's a coincidence, but it could be or it couldn't be. I'm going to, once I review that, I'll let you guys know, you know, what I found.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely.
And the doll moved, too. There's a doll up there that moved.
Yeah, one of the guest investigators claimed the doll moved, but I don't know if he could have hit it by accident because it was really dark in there. So I'm not even going to really use that as evidence because I think he could have hit it. With his foot, because you know he saw a dog move and he almost jumped in my lap. So I don't know if he could have just scared and hit it with his foot. You know, that's what I'm thinking. That was a dog. That's not the ball. Yeah.
Right.
We said dolls in the other rooms too. You know, because supposedly you know the owner has actually seen a little boy up there in the attic. So we try to set out toys and things for kids. See if we can get a response.
A previous investigation actually had a videotape of that little boy peeking around the chimney up there.
Right. This guy will not give me the video for anything to save his life. I tried to contact him. I said, man, please just let us have the video. It's for the owner. I used to work with the guy in a previous group. He will not give me the video. He used to be a tech guy with us in a previous group, but he won't give me the video from it. Even the owners have called him and asked him, but he got mad because we kicked him out. So he don't want to give up the video, but you know that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. He'll get better.
Right.
Just have to give him a little bit of time and.
Right.
Get a little bit better video and then send him a copy of it and go, see here, jackass.
Right, here you go. But I mean, you know, Kathy and Derek, the owners there, they'll let us come back there and investigate, you know, pretty much any time we want. So, But I asked her if I could come back in a few weeks and you try to debunk the ball thing, and she said it would be no problem. She's already gave us permission to do the Paracon next year, too, so.
Good deal. Yeah, I'll definitely... Yeah. I'll definitely make sure to show up next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, Scott has asked me if I would be willing to speak at next year's Paracon. I told him I'd be more than happy to.
That would be awesome, dude. That would be awesome.
We learn
some things from this one that we need to do different. Maybe you know, you can't control the weather. There's nothing you can do about that. But maybe, you know, the Easter weekend, you know, we're going to make sure we don't do it on Easter weekend next year. The weather is really nothing that you can do about the weather, but that's one thing we can't change is, you know, the weekend might have been a little bad, but it's the only thing I think we planned fairly well. We had some good guests and, you know, some good groups, some good speakers. I think, you know, just the public support wasn't there mostly because of the weather, I believe.
The chance
you got to take, you know, your first one is going to be a learning experience, you know, next time, you know, hopefully it's going to be a lot better.
Well, holiday weekend's hard, too.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't realize that till, you know, we've already approved the day and, you know, they're very, very busy with weddings and stuff this time of year, and she said it was that's the only day she could do it after we planned it, you know. But next year, you know, we're going to get with her, you know, probably this summer and go ahead and plan out a date all the way at that time so we make sure we can get a better, you know, day. We're either going to try to do it, you know, maybe a week before or maybe a week after, maybe into early May or so.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I see your message, Matt. Go right ahead, brother. I expected them to be listening. I actually talked to her today. She verified the time because I'm a moron and didn't post whether it was Eastern or Central. So, hey, Naomi. Hey, Alyssa.
Hi, Naomi. Hi, Alyssa. Hi, Dante. Hi, Faith, if you're listening. It's the people that we're saying hi to, dear, dear friends of mine, and... Naomi actually owns the most haunted damn place I've ever been to. And she's up in Wisconsin about 2.5 hours away. It's that place will turn any skeptic into a believer.
What's it called? I'm not.
It's a private residence. Yeah.
it's
called a home.
Yeah.
Like a private residence or...
Yeah, it's her house. I actually did a remote on it, and what the hell did I talk to you that night, Matt? But you actually were able to verify against EVPs from previous eight different energies.
Something like crazy. Yeah, it was something like that. But no, you show up to the place, and that's one of my theory of. Familiarity came from was from her house. And the more I go there, the more stuff happens. And it's like Naomi has the power to put them at bay. And she just says, not tonight, guys. And stuff quiets down. She'll have bonfires, she'll have all that, and be like, oh, yeah, why don't you come out and mess with them? And people leave their stark white. It's crazy.
Yeah, I interacted with at least six or eight when I did the remote on that location, and it's pretty hairy. But, yeah, Lyle is in chat. Scott, and he says that Team Twisted will definitely be in the house next year for the Paracon there at Boxwood.
Say what now?
I said, Scott, Lyle is in chat, and he said that Team Twisted will definitely be at the Boxwoods next year as well.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we like those guys. We like Lyle a lot, and Ton and their whole team, they're real professional, and I'm so glad they came out. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, we were talking about doing some cases together with them.
Yeah, I'd like to investigate with them sometime. They seem like a lot of fun.
So, real quick for the people who don't know, what's the history of the Boxwood? What's happened there? What's the reason that you guys think that it's haunted?
Well, I mean, Tim, like he said, he's been investigating there for years, and you know, every time we've investigated there, we've gotten some pretty good evidence.
The first time, what caused us for Kathy, the owner, to first permit us to come there is she called when I was in a previous group, and she told me that she thinks her son, which he passed away when he was 23 from a heart attack. He had a heart disease or something, and she asked, you know, she thinks that he's still there with her. So she said, I don't think I'm crazy. I just want to know if he could be here. Could you help me? I said, of course. You know, we went, and that's the night we had an SB7 session with her son, and she was actually involved in the investigation. You know, she would say, you know, Chad, are you here? And he came right through and said, Chad's here. And he said, I love you, Mom. And he said a word. He used to say dude all the time. He came through and he said dude. And he said a couple of street names, which, you know, the family knew, and they all, I mean, it was him, it was the mom, his brother, and some of his friends. We all invited him to come to listen, and they were all just bawling, you know, because he came through that clear. So I think he's one of the main spirits that's there. We've also identified actual Simon Curtis and his wife. He was the builder of the house and his wife. We actually have them. They've came through in EVPs and SB7s also. But I think mostly Chad, her son, is definitely there. You know, he makes his presence noticed pretty much every time we go there.
Well, that's awesome when you can give people a little bit of peace of mind like that.
Well, man, they were bawling, you know. And I felt, I mean, they were crying, man. I felt bad, you know, but I started crying with them, you know. It's like, but it was tears of joy, you know, because it gave Kathy so much peace that she knows that he was okay. And that's why I do it, you know. It made her feel better and made their family feel better. So that, you know, that gives me satisfaction, you know.
Yeah, that's fantastic when you can do something like that. And, you know, that's what this whole thing is about. That's why we're all out here each weekend, and, you know, we spend so many hours staring at a screen, listening to audios, just to see if we can find something that, you know, will help a loved one get back in touch with someone that they've lost.
Right.
So, you know, that's pretty cool when you're able to do that.
That was the most amazing SP7 session I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was just as clear as day, man. I mean, it's like almost it would just stop scanning. He would come through and it would start scanning again. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've never had a fantastic session out of SB7, so that would definitely be one that I'd love to get into.
Yeah. Next time I see you, Dennis, I'll let you listen to that session next time I see you. I've got some pretty cool stuff from there.
I'd definitely love to listen to it. But like I said, I've never had a really good SB7 session. But then again, up until recently, and I haven't gone out on an investigation after I broke mine open and modified it.
Right.
I've just got too many strong radio stations around here. Even when I put it inside the static bags and everything, it just gets too damn much. So finally, like I showed Lyle at Boxwood Saturday, you know, I showed him how to open his up and, you know, just completely disable the antenna, remove the antenna completely. Then, like, after I did it, I took it into my basement and just, you know, I let it run through the channels a dozen times, and I never got a single inside of it, which... You know, I wasn't trying. You know, I know I've got two spirits in my house. I've talked with them a dozen times. But I wasn't trying to communicate with them, so I didn't ask any questions. I just sat and listened to see if the SP7 would pick up anything. And not a thing came in, not a single radio station blurbed in. Yeah, so now I'm kind of itching to get out and, you know, go try it on an actual investigation and see how it works.
I've noticed you do take the antenna completely out. It does help a lot. And also, I like to run mine in reverse FM and also run it on 100 to 150. I'm really got, you know, the fastest you can, because it seemed like, to me, if you run it backwards and as fast as you can, it's less likely for a radio station to come through to it. That's just, we've had the best success using it that way.
And that's, do you normally use the AM or FM?
We use the FM reverse.
Okay. Because, yeah, I have three of them that are all, like, one is just how you order it.
Right.
And then one I have has the FM antenna disconnected, not removed, but it's disconnected, it's blocked off to where if there is any sort of signal, it's arcing between it, so it's not going to be as strong. And then I have one that has the AM removed, and I'll run two simultaneously, same sweep rate, and I also run it in reverse as well.
Right.
So that way, at least you can kind of it. There's a certain proximity
right.
that you can kind of mess with it and try it out, and it is different because, you know, higher like the 107.9s, 107.5s, like, you know, all those are going to come in at a stronger frequency than, well, like an 87.7 is going to come in.
Right.
So, yeah, it's it kind of was a pain and it was a learning curve, but I noticed FM antenna not removed, but just snipped and then braided off either direction. That tends to be a little more accurate and a little more credible.
Right. All right. Well, you know, you talking about, you got the new one. You know, they make the new one now without the AM on it now. You got that one, right? That's the one you're talking about?
No, I bought three of the same, and then I started messing with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the ones you can order now through Gary Gawker, the one who makes them, where they come without AM, they just have FM on them. So that kind of helps. You know, while you were just talking about, eliminate some of that it could be a radio station anyway, AM anyway.
And that's a lot of the problem with the SP7 too, is if it's sweeping and it's going through, and even if you're at 100 or 150, there's, since it hits every point, like if you go into your car, I'm not saying do this because then everybody would stop listening to us and they go to their car, but when you're in your car and you hit seek, it doesn't hit 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5. It'll jump at 0.2 to 0.5. Like, it doesn't hit every channel. So that's one thing that I noticed is with the standard SB7, when you're sweeping radio stations, if you're getting a one or two words that come through, that is going to linger into those other frequencies. It doesn't hit like a 97.1, and once it goes to 97.2, it stops. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get crossfeed that goes through that spectrum of radio. So, you watch Ghost Adventures. Oh well, it swept through four channels. Okay, well, those four channels are bleeder channels.
Right.
Not to throw them under the bus or say anything bad, like, at all.
Right.
But just as an example.
Right. They usually bleed over at least one frequency. Anyway. Yeah, they'll bleed over one frequency, radio stations do, at least one way, either one way or the other.
Yeah. So if it's three channels, it's coming through on, you know, 97.1, but it's also coming through on 97.0, and it's coming through on 97.2. And if you're getting a single syllable, or you're getting just even a two-syllable word that's very, very quick, I never look at that as like, oh my God, somebody's talking to us.
Right, yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that is just you, Matt, but that's all right. Eventually,
yeah,
the psychotropic drugs will wear off, and we'll figure out most of what's going on in your head.
Right. Nobody will. Ever.
Yeah, there's potential. There's potential. I mean, we are making progress. We've at least got you to understand that wearing a sheepskin condom means you don't wear the whole sheep.
Yeah, my therapist is also in an asylum somewhere. So
yeah, I wonder if yours is the same one I had. I've put up with therapists in therapy, but they've all promised me that as soon as they get out of therapy, we can start sessions again. I don't think that happened. So, Scott, do you recall Chelsea Rain?
Yes.
Well, I have her on the board now, and I'm ready to bring her in, so hopefully Chelsea is prepared. Otherwise, I just might unmute her, and we may be shocked at what we hear on the other end. So here we go, and let's have a chat with Chelsea.
Hello, how are you?
With us?
I am here.
Doing excellent. Doing good, dear. How are you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Highly caffeinated and wound up, so please proceed with caution.
Okay.
Everybody else has already found out what happens when I get over caffeinated.
Yeah, little bit. Hi, Chelsea.
Hello.
Yeah, it's I've actually, you know what? I'm quite surprised with how caffeinated the Dennis is that I've been able to get a word in edgewise throughout this whole conversation. I'm kind of beside myself and confused in a way.
Uh-oh.
No, in a good way.
I mean, part of it is because I'm bouncing around so damn much, I'm going to try to figure out how to sit down. You know, everybody says that caffeine is really bad for you and makes your heart rate fly, and, you know, you just start babbling and everything. I don't see that problem. I've never had that problem with caffeine. Even though I drink a lot of coffee, it just doesn't seem to bother me like that.
Yeah. Oh, look. Oh, look, a squirrel.
Me either. Keeps my heart going.
Dude, for some reason, it kind of sounds like everybody's talking really fast. Is it just me, or are you guys, like, really talking fast? Are y'all from the north?
We ain't from the north. Definitely not from the north.
Not from the north. All right, so, Chelsea, we have Scott and Tim are still on air with us, which I want to thank both of them for the event this weekend, and you and I actually crossing paths.
Yeah, so it was great.
You,
we had a lot of fun, other than it being cold and really, really rainy.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I think we would have definitely had a better crowd if it hadn't been raining.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. But it was still a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, I had a blast. But I'll tell you, the one person there that I felt the most sympathy for was that young lady that you had running around in the long, like, cape.
Uh-huh.
Good Lord, I know that girl had to be cold.
That's why she changed, like,
pretty
quickly.
She changed out of that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chelsea, give us a quick rundown on yourself and, you know, the book that you've written, Twisted Dream, Dead Moon, which I apologize, I have no information on it.
That's all right. I'm born in Texas, born in San Antonio, raised in Corpus Christi, and I moved here about 14 years ago to Virginia. And let's see, it was 2009 I started writing. I've always written songs. I've always been in bands, and I've always written songs, but I just decided to write a book, and I started out with my character, my first character, which is Uwe Michelle Van Buren, and I just automatically started working on her, and then the story is basically Uwe Michelle Van Buren. She lives in Asheville, North Carolina, and she goes to a club with her girlfriends, and to a dark, obscure nightclub she'd never been to, or her friends hadn't been to. They'd always heard things about, but never been there. And she meets the owner of the club, and she's totally drawn to him, and she falls in love with him, and then she finds out he's a vampire. Well, he's not a normal vampire. He actually was born a vampire. His mom was bit when she was pregnant with him. And so he was born a vampire, and he believes in God. He believes that God made him a vampire to be, to get rid of the bad people in the world. So he works for the prison, Asheville Prison, and he feeds off the murderers, the rapists, the serial killers, and he gets rid of the bad people. He lives by the code, which is do not take innocent lives in cold blood, which is the code of the spy, which is a society of powerful mortals. And that's basically what he does. And when he meets Isla, he wants to change her, but he won't because he doesn't take innocent lives in cold blood. So it's a cat-and-mouse game between him and Isla, and she's pushing him and pushing him to change her, and he just won't do it. And there's a lot of things. You'll have to read the book or see the movie. So I can't tell you too much, you know, or I have to kill you. No, I'm just joking. But I could tell you, let's see, and there's 4 books, and I'm working on the third one. I'm coming to the end of it, of the third one. My second one, Isildon, should be out by Christmas, which is the continuation of the series, starting from Twisted Dream, Dead Moon, and then Isildon, and then Blackheart, which is the one I'm working on right now. And I'm coming to the end of that one. I'm kind of on hold on that one right now because I'm editing Isildon because it's getting ready to go to publishing. So, and I'm building my team. I've got an awesome crew, Atlanta East Motion Picture Company, and we're actually trying to add crew to that because my cameraman needs more cameramen and he also needs more crew, so we are actually looking for more crew. We have 2 positions available, and they're actually live-in crew. So they live in the house with the rest of the crew and train. So it's a free room and board and free education and learn how to make money other ways also, like on selling stuff on eBay and stuff like that. And I'm just working my butt off trying to find the actors that we need. I mean, these are big shoes to fill because, like, the people that I've written my characters about are people that, you know, are in my life, you know. So I judge these these actors when they come in audition, you know, whether or not they're going to fill those shoes. And they're pretty big shoes to fill for most of my characters. But my husband plays my lead vampire, Jonathan. And I've got a lot of really great friends that are involved and some great actors. And we're just looking for investors so we can really get this show on the road, so to speak. So,
oh, cool.
Legit, yeah.
Now, what's, as far as the actors, what are you looking for? Seasoned actors? Do you need just extras? Do you need,
I need extras. I do need some actors for some main roles. I'm trying to, like I said, find the crew people. We're getting ready to have a photo shoot on the 25th of May, and we're hoping to, you know, cast some more. We're having auditions as well on the 25th of May at the Small Stage Theater next to Long Street's Cafe in Old Town Petersburg.
I do have somebody off air because I don't want to put the information out there, but I do have somebody that I think would be perfect to put you in contact with for that.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Who's local to you. And
that's great.
And Dennis, you'll know who I'm talking about when I say the original Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, our dear friend Jim. So,
well, that's great.
Like I said, he's local to you, so it'll be very, very easy.
Awesome.
I just need, I'll shoot him a call tomorrow since you guys are an hour ahead of me. I'm in Chicago,
Chicago.
I should say. Yep.
How windy is it there?
Politician wise or actual meteorological?
Weather wise.
Well, here's a fun fact for everybody. The reason that Chicago got its name as the Windy City is the politicians blowing hot wind that were basically full of shit. That's where it comes from, not actual weather wise. So
wow.
That's where the nickname actually comes from, is political. I think everybody in the country knows that Chicago has had many, many political issues with governors. Yes. It's been fun here. But I do want to say something too. And as far as Texas goes, I was born in Memorial City Hospital in Houston. And here's a little TMI for everybody. Parents, plug your kids' ears. I was conceived in Corpus Christi. Lake Conroe, actually. And had dear, dear friends who, a lot of them still live there in San Antonio. So I'm very, very familiar with Texas. I miss it so much. But I still have a lot of people who live there, and then I have to go down and see them, to be honest with you. It's been 18 years.
Wow. My grandfather just passed away at 98 in Texas in Austin, and we buried him in Corpus Christi. He had the 21-gun salute, so, you know, he was a fighter pilot in World War II. He lived an amazing life. And my grandmother's 98, and she's living in Texas in Austin.
Chelsea, do you have Facebook chat up right now by chance?
Do I have it up? No, I can bring it up.
Actually, none of our guests might have Facebook chat up, but that's very difficult.
Not for me. I want to send you a picture that my mom painted of, my mom's an artist, and she did a phenomenal picture, like a collage picture of the San Antonio Riverwalk.
Oh, wow. My dad actually helped build some of the restaurants on the Riverwalk.
Oh, wow.
I'm bringing it up right now. You said you want me to open up chat room?
Yeah, just Facebook chat. I can shoot you a photo real quick. Anyway, we can continue while I'm doing this.
Okay.
I'm not going to make everybody sit around and wait and be like, okay, well, they're sending pictures. I don't see anything.
Right? Yeah. I'm looking for it here. Let's see. Are you just going to send it to my message? Or I'm looking for my chat.
Yeah.
There we go.
There it is. There. Yeah, my mom actually won. That's the one nice thing about having a smartphone. You can do so much stuff at once. But.
Okay. You send it to me on my messages?
I will be. It's loading right now, so.
Okay.
So when, how much more on the movie do you have to do?
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, it's a full feature film, so, and, you know, we're, like I said, we need to fill these roles. And we have to find the right crew people and train them and get them ready, and then we can really, really start shooting. We've shot a little bit. We've got two trailers out on YouTube. You can actually go to our website, our movie website, which is twistedreamdeadmovie.com, and you can see our trailers. I'm trying to bring it up. I don't see. There it is. Okay, cool. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. How long ago was that?
When she painted it?
Yeah.
That was, I believe, 98.
Oh, that's cool. I know exactly where that is, too.
See? the woman that's featured in the bottom portion, that's standing next to the person in the yellow shirt that's walking away, the one that's facing.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry for everybody who can't see it because it's radio. I do apologize.
Yeah.
I'll post it on Facebook, but that woman was basically kind of like my second mother, and that photo was taken almost 3 weeks before she passed away from breast cancer.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, my mom was down in San Antonio for almost a month, taking care of her, helping out with the kids, and all that stuff. So it's my mom. You know, I gotta throw this on Facebook. But anyway, my mom had won at least 5 or 6 awards for this collage, and
it
means a lot to me. I mean, it's my home state, and also, like I said, my second and third. I have a few different surrogate moms, like adopted moms, I should say, not surrogate moms. But
I got you. I got a few of them myself.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But yeah, I figured share a little bit of my Texas experience with you.
Cool. That's awesome.
You know, Texas has the 15th largest economy in the world.
Really?
You know that? Yeah. No. 15th in the world.
Only Scott would know that.
Yeah, because I'm a nerd like that.
Well, see,
I am too, brother.
It's not a complete waste to listen to us. We are informative.
Oh, that's cool.
You never know what you're going to learn listening to Full Spectrum Radio. Sometimes you learn that they really don't mean keep the sheepskin for a sheepskin condom.
Chelsea, I'm sorry that this is going to be a pun that's probably going to continue. I want to put that out there.
It's all good.
Well, she missed the beginning of the program, so.
I did miss it.
I'm sorry. I was eating dinner.
No.
Well,
honestly, dear,
where I was
wrong. You were better off.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing you missed it.
I was eating spaghetti.
Well, I don't know. I had tears rolling down my face laughing so hard. Everybody.
Yeah.
And it was all because of that damn fiend overdose I tried to give myself. Oh, holy shit. Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm checking out a new flashlight, and for some reason it didn't want to work. So what do? Kind of like a mental midget in the backwoods that you see his gun doesn't fire. So what's he do? He looks down the barrel. I got into the lens of it and hit the light.
Not a good idea.
Wow. I'm not real bright today. I really, you know, Keurig, I am not happy with them right now. Since you missed the beginning of the show, I'll give you a real quick synopsis, Chelsea. I managed to beat the hell out of my Keurig tonight, and I've had like 2 or 3 big cups of coffee, so I'm a little caffeinated.
I've had, you know, my coffee today, too.
Well, and now I'm sitting here drinking a Coke, which is my second Coke after the 3 big cups of coffee or 2 big cups of coffee, whatever. So, yeah. At any rate, as far as the movie and the crew that you're looking for, what type of crew members are you looking for, and what kind of, I guess, you know, anybody that's going to call in is going to ask the same question, but what kind of pay are they anticipating getting, or...
Right now it's a live-in, it's free room and board, so you get to live in the house with a 35-year veteran in the film industry. He's worked with Disney, he's worked with Spielberg, he's worked with a lot of the big ones, and he would basically train them, and they could live in his house and train in, and then he would teach them also how to make money on eBay and to do some other things and also make documentaries. They do some other projects that they get paid on. But as of right now, Twisted Dream Dead Moon is a non-paying project. But I'm hoping once we find investors that that will change.
Excellent. Now, when you say they live in the house, where is it located? I mean, is it in...
It's in Richmond. It's right off of Jeff Davis in Richmond.
Well, just the fact that, just the locality is basically what I was after. So it is in Richmond.
Yeah.
Are you doing most of the filming for the movie itself here in Richmond, or like the outline?
We're doing all the filming. We're doing it in Colonial Heights and in Petersburg and then in Richmond.
Okay.
There's a castle called the Virginia House. And it looks identical to the one on the cover of my book. And that's where we're going to be shooting the castle scenes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So how many extras are you looking for? How many primary actors and actresses are you looking for?
Well, right now I've got some main roles. Part of Zane, who is a vampire, and he can go either way. I mean, I want him to have dark hair. He can be Oriental. I mean, he can be Asian. Or he can be Caucasian. Or he could even be, you know, African-American. I'm pretty open with his character, but he is a vampire. And he's part of Josiah's posse. And Josiah is one of the badass vampires. She's very powerful. And
Can he be 44 and bald?
What now?
Can he be 44 and bald?
No, but I can probably find a place for you somewhere.
Okay, because I can't grow any hair, I don't think, but, you know, unless it's gray.
Okay.
But
that's okay.
Well, how about 44 with a full head of hair?
Hey, you know, either way, I can find a place for you. You know, I'm the writer. I can add people in.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I mean, I'm still looking for extras for, you know, we're going to be doing some scenes at some restaurants and some clubs, and we'll be needing extras for that. And plus, we're supposed to be doing a ballroom scene. We haven't yet to find the ballroom that we're going to be using for that, but we're working on that. And that one's going to take quite a bit of people, and it's also going to take quite a bit of money because it's held at the castle. So, you know, I've got to have the best ball gowns, the best jewelry. It's got to be, you know, top of the line. It's got to look like it's in a castle and it's a bunch of rich vampires. So, because most of the vampires are rich because, you know, they've been around forever.
Literally.
So, yeah, literally. But, yeah, we're still looking for extras. We're always, you know, wanting people to be a part of it, and we're looking for more people to help do hair and makeup and other photographers and set managers and set design, help us with set design as well. We have a lot of positions available, you know, and we're just kind of hoping that, you know, actors will want to do other things as well, so we can just fill within, you know, the group we already have, but of course add others as well. Because, I mean, if you've seen the credits at the end of movies, it's just like continues and continues. And, you know, I do hair, makeup, act, you know, partly direct. I do have a director, Michelle Matthews. And then, of course, I have Ira, Will Hall, and he's also doing some directing as well. And then I have Tracy Frame, who's real big with some of the theaters around here, and she has a film company also called Coney Island Films, and she's helping me also. So I'm going to have plenty of directors. I just need the actors, and I need the crew people.
Well, cool. Well, as far as set design, I'll give you a little heads up. I'm a contractor by trade. So if you need help with that portion of it, you've got my number. Make sure to give me a buzz. I'll help you
any
way I can.
Awesome. That'd be great. That would be awesome.
So when are you anticipating starting filming?
Well, until we have our full crew, we can't really start filming. We have a photo shoot on the 25th. We're going to be hopefully shooting some new actors, getting some pictures out of them, and we're also going to do some scene rehearsals. And I don't really know what scenes we're going to work on yet because I don't know what actors are going to be there. And as of right now, I've got most people coming, but you know how it is right before people seem to have other things coming up. And, you know, I deal with that occasionally, having to drop scenes and stuff because, you know, people don't show. But, you know, I'm praying for, you know, investors and stuff, which will give them incentive to actually show up and do their part. So
yeah. Well, with any luck, we have some of the people that I've tagged as far as the announcement for tonight's show. You know, they're pretty much tied into the movie industry. There's a couple of them in particular. I'm hoping they're listening in and like the premise of the movie, and we'll get in touch. So
that'd be
if
great.
If you're listening, if you're interested in you know, helping to sponsor a new movie, you can either contact me or go directly to Chelsea. In the chat, I did put up the link for Twisted Movie or Twisted Dream Dead Moon Movie.com. I also have your profile link in the chat room. And I have the Facebook for the book in chat also.
Awesome.
So you should be able to be found fairly easily. Now, what, you know, there's always stipulations on, you know, quote-unquote sponsors. Are you looking for, you know, only 5,000 or above, or, you know, there's $100 here or there, something that would be worthwhile helping you out?
Pretty much anything will help. You know, really to do it, my goal is to have just, I want people to walk away from the theater. I mean, and I don't want to go directly to, you know, DVD or TV. You know, I want this to go on the big screen. I'm not going through all this work to have it just go to DVD. So, you know, I really want people to walk away from the theater and say, that was just like the book. I want to see it again. You know, that's my goal, and to make it as much like the book as possible. And to do that, it's going to cost quite a bit of money, you know. I wouldn't say, I mean, actually a B film, an independent low-budget film, starts at $200,000, you know. I've actually sat down and figured out all the expenses and everything. And, yeah, I mean, we could probably do it for $200,000. But, you know, I'm willing to take any sponsors. You know, any kind of money will help us move forward.
Right. Don't you wish it was like the original George Romero film, Dawn of the Living Dead? He filmed that whole damn thing using college actors at no cost, and I think he paid like $1,800 total to make that whole damn movie.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That
was the 70s, brother.
It was actually earlier than that, but, well, actually very early 70s. Yeah, I think he paid like $1,800 was his total expenditure to do a what's now a, you know, 40-year-old cult classic.
Yeah.
But, you know, he
and also a nice car was $2,600.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he went to the local college and pulled out as many, all the acting students that he could. Virtually everybody was just college actors.
Right.
But, he had a dream, too, and just found a way to make it happen. So I certainly hope, hope and pray for the best for you that your dream works out as well.
Thank you.
And we'll see how it goes for you. Hopefully we can, get some people behind you from the program tonight.
That would be awesome.
You never know.
Oh, and Chelsea, I sent you two pieces of, or the two people information-wise. I'll get in contact with them tomorrow, even if it's not exactly their cup of tea. I know from what they've done in the past and what, like, current projects and all that stuff, that they'd at least be able to refer you to somebody.
Okay.
So they're phenomenal, phenomenal people, and very, very good friends. I actually, the second person, he does more documentary stuff, but his eye and his, even film people are starving artists. It's just, it is what it is. It's the artistic industry.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the documentary stuff that he's done, and the shots that he pulls off at, absolutely, absolutely amazing. And the documentary that I was working on with, was trying to set up to work on with somebody else, here's where the nice thing comes in. He goes, yeah, you know what? I love the vision. I love the idea. Don't worry about funding. I got it. So.
Wow.
kind of a positive direction.
That's great. Oh, we need all the help we can get. We don't turn anybody down. If they want to help us, we're gung-ho, and, I'm not giving up until this is on the big screen.
And I'm definitely excited to see it. I'll be more than happy to, I'll assist the makeup department. We'll find a spot for Scott, and I just want to be the one to put the glue on his head that when you stick a wig on.
I'll wear a toupee or a wig or whatever. That's cool. I'm good with it.
All right.
Yeah,
super glue.
Yeah, knowing Dennis, he's going to show up like Gorilla Glue.
Well, of
that's
course.
Cool. But wait, which one of you lives in Chicago?
That would be Matt.
Yep, that'd be me.
Would that be Matt or Dennis?
Yes. No, Dennis is in Richmond. I'm here in Chicago.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm probably 10 minutes away from you, Chelsea. I'm right in, I'm actually over in Highland Springs by the airport.
Oh, wow. That's
so
cool.
I'm not far away from you. Of course, you met Scott and Tim. They're from down around the Newport News area.
Right.
If you need a, if at some point you decide that there needs to be an overcaffeinated vampire in this thing, or you want to get one overcaffeinated, I'll be his victim.
I'm sure I can put you in somewhere. Don't you worry.
I would have to be one of the non-visible actors, though, because ain't nobody want to see this face. I got a face for radio.
I got you.
Unless you've got really great makeup people, yeah. And it doesn't sound like it's a gore movie. You're really not the only one.
No, it's really not. I mean, it's a very passionate story, and my lead character is Isla. She writes lyrics throughout the whole series, and at the end of the third book, at the end, her and Jonathan start a band with his brother, GC, and it's called Isla and the Bloodsuckers. And that's basically, you know, Lava Girl and Rock Monsters. I'm sure you saw the CDs at our booth. That's my band, Lava Girl and the Rock Monsters. We're really no longer together, but I'm still going to use the CD as part of the soundtrack. So, and then I'm actually trying to work with some musicians so I can get the music that Isla wrote, like the lyrics, because I got to put that to music and work on those songs so they'll be in the soundtrack as well.
Me and Scott play a little music. We'll play a little heavy metal. Let us know.
What kind of...
I really think you need a bald vampire in your movie there. Or a bald vampire slayer or something.
I don't have any vampire slayers. I have... Well, actually, I do, but that's like in the third... Well, it's the second or third book, so...
Are there any roles for a really tight shirt individual?
A tight shirt individual?
There you go, brother.
I told you I'd get him, Tim. You told me
oh, that's
I had
awesome,
it.
Dude. I thought you forgot.
No, I just had to find that perfect time.
You can be a bouncer.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. I just had to find out perfect time to get him. And, well, Scott, you have my permission to slap Tim. He's the one that put me up to that.
He had too much coffee.
That's awesome. He does wear some tight-ass shirts. Telling you the truth.
I wear shirts that fit, Tim. I wear shirts that fit, okay? I wear shirts that fit.
I agree,
they fit. They fit a 12-year-old, Scott.
Oh,
man.
But I will say they are such soft shirts. Oh, my God.
I love you guys. If I told you that today, I love you guys.
Yeah, I think you mispronounced piss off. One of the funniest things, I'm standing up towards the front of where the chats and everything were going on, and these three ladies walked by, and one of them like, rubbed his shirt and goes, oh, my God, they're so soft. She's standing there rubbing his arms, and the other girl is going, I got a soft shirt, too. Here, rub mine. Well, I'm standing there ready to die laughing. Scott's about three shades of red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what color is your shirt?
Oh, my God.
You guys are funny.
It was dude, even worse earlier.
I mess with him about his shirts, like, constantly, dude. for about, like, what, 6 or 7 years now? It's hilarious to me.
Oh, boy.
Guess y'all gotta be around anymore to see. I don't think he has a shirt that ain't, like, tight as shit. They all go all the way up to, like, halfway his arm, and he rolls them up, kind of. Oh, God,
he's a greaser.
Yeah, that's what he is.
He's a greaser.
He could be a greaser vampire. He's got a bald greaser vampire.
Okay.
I see where this is going. You know, and when we hear the screams in the background, we will know Scott got up from his seat. Run and run. So,
I'm hiding in another room away from him so he don't smack me.
There you go. Well, let me ask you this, Chelsea. Since you're writing about vampires and so forth, what is your... feeling in the paranormal?
I totally believe in ghosts. I watch Ghost Adventures on TV, though, and I feel so unsatisfied when I watch it sometimes because I'm just like, I don't really believe that they're getting, you know, I mean, some of it's believable, some of it's not, you know. But I have actually experienced things, you know, psychic and also some paranormal things. I was living in Colorado, and I was in this place. This was like a big, big building that was made into a bunch of apartments, and I was staying with a girlfriend. And a kid had died skateboarding in the hall. And we were sitting there, and we could hear the skateboard coming. And it, like, came through the wall and, like, came through us. And it was pretty intense. We slept out in the hallway after that. So, but I totally believe in paranormal. And that stuff really freaks me out because you have no control at all.
Well, trust me, how well I know.
Yeah, I mean, I have yet to watch Paranormal Activity 4 because they all just kind of really freak me out. Paranormal Activities really freak me out.
Yeah, I got to say, I haven't watched the first one of them simply because it just looked to me like it was all Hollywood. I'd much rather watch something that's, you know, not as over the top.
Well, I kind of agree with you there, but I will say that the first one, to me, was a little, I don't know. I think that one was actually more real than the other ones. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that one actually hit me. Like, I literally thought it was a true story, the way that it was at the end and everything. And I was kind of freaked out to realize that it wasn't, but, you know. It might be a true story somebody wrote. You know, you never know.
Yeah, or, well, I kind of have a feeling that, you know, pretty much everything in life has some basis in reality.
Right.
You know, even the Paranormal Activity shows, I think, have some basis in reality. Somewhere, you know, it wasn't just a random thought. Something happened to lead somebody in that direction of thought, you know, to be able to write, even your book, Twisted Dream, Dead Moon, I'm thinking that there has to be something that put you in that line of thought. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Well, and Isla finds out that she's actually psychic in her dreams. And I've had dreams where I, you know, saw something happen, and then the next day I saw, you know, dreams can be premonitions. They can be guidance. They can be, they can be warnings, too, so... But that Isla does find out that she's very psychic in her dreams, because when she dreams things, she usually sees the person. It may not happen exactly the same way, but it usually does. You know, it does mean that she's going to see that person. So, I mean, that is a lot of the guidance throughout the whole series as well, because she knows as soon as she has a dream about somebody, she's going to see them.
I was actually talking to a friend of mine just, it was either yesterday or the day before, regarding dreams. And, you know, she seems to, one of her oddities was, I don't understand why when I dream within a few days, what I dreamed about, I actually run into real similar situations. Or, you know, something will trigger me to think about a loved one that I've lost. And I'm like, well, you know, part of it could be some bit premonition. The other part could be in your dreams, that's the easiest time for spirit to come talk to you because you're more open and receptive.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'll tell you about something that was really cool. My stepmom OD'd. accidentally overdosed about 4 years ago. And it wasn't too long after she died that I was trying to figure out why she OD'd. What was so bad that she had to take so much morphine? And it was, I had a dream, and she was holding the baby. And I was like, what's the baby's name? And she said, Leanna Love. And I was like, that's for my soap opera. And then I was like, she was about to fade away. And then I was like, okay, why did you end up ODing? And the next morning, it was Thanksgiving Day. And I woke up with a severe pain in my arm. And it was the same arm that she had rolled her Miata. And had really, really bad. Her arm had been smashed in the accident, and she'd been taking morphine to get rid of the pain. And I had the same pain, and I had to stay drunk all day for this pain that I was feeling. And it was the same arm, and it was incredible. She basically just gave me the pain so I would know why she OD'd. And then the next day it was gone. I never had any pain in my arm again. Ooh, and I knew that she was giving me the sign. She was letting me know, this is why. And I can understand, because I had to stay drunk all day on Thanksgiving Day. It was that bad.
Mm. Yeah, I've had similar instances where I've had physical pain calls from. Now, I haven't told you this, but I can do remote views where I can see a location thousands of miles away. I actually did one for Matt, and one of the things that I saw was a young lady in the back seat of a car that she had been found murdered, but I could see from like her view looking out the back seat of the car fighting with these guys. The next thing I know, I got punched in the damn nose. And, you know, I'm sitting by myself at my dining table, but I felt the pain. Now, I bounced for 15 years, trust me. I know what a punch in the nose feels like. And
right.
It was identical. So, you know, I know they can interact with us in that manner and let us know what they feel. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Scary, but cool. And sometimes painful.
All right. Matt, go ahead, brother. You see my message? I'm going to go screen. I'll be right back, brother.
Yes, I did.
Do I now?
Oh, no. The board's basically been lit up pretty much all night, so we're trying to figure out who's who. We have, I think, at least 12, 15 callers.
Oh,
so
wow.
Dennis is trying to figure out who's who. So, all right, I hate to ask this, but I'm going to. My family's been in the entertainment industry for years. If everything like vampire, you know, one, my personal opinion, they don't glisten in sunlight. I give a lot of credit to the Twilight Saga with how much money it brought in, like everything else, but you and I grew up, vampires, when they get hit with sunlight, they don't sparkle. They die.
Well, not in my story. In my story, my vampires disappear in the sunlight. So they're there, you just don't know they're there.
Wow.
See, that's really cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is cool.
No, they don't turn into diamonds. Like,
yeah.
Come on, really?
Or dust.
Yeah,
they're there, but you can't see them.
They just become invisible.
Exactly, and there's a few parts in the movie where Jonathan and Isla are lying in bed, and the light shines in on Jonathan, and he's half she looks over and he's half of a man laying there, and it really freaks her out. And there's a lot of other times where they're walking through the sun and he's gone and she's talking to herself, basically. It looks like, anyways, but he's there. And
so
it's an interesting aspect of it.
The question I hate to ask is, if there was one vampire movie, and I'm talking like, you know, from the 80s or even the 40s, when the first, or no, 20s is when one of the first ones was shot, to today, is there anything relative that you would compare what you did or give you inspiration for it? Like, that you'd say, oh, it was Bram Stoker, as a horrible example, or like anything like that gave you...
It's probably a mixture of a bunch. Interview of the Vampire, Bram Stoker's Dracula, you know, some of the aspects of it, even Once Bitten with Jim Carrey. Not the comedy, of course. So they'll have to have a little bit of comedy, of course. But, you know, I mean, like garlic. If a vampire consumes the blood of someone that's eaten garlic, it slowly poisons them, and they would start to regress in age. And also water. Water, if water gets on their skin, it burns like fire. And it, like, you know, looks like they've been burnt. And then,
wow.
But they bathe in salt water. See, they're attracted to the salt that's in blood, the salt, you know, in the water as well. So they have huge tubs of salt next to the tubs. And Isla wonders why, and then she finds out that's why, because they bathe in salt water.
Cool. And so the salt makes the water not burn the skin, I assume?
Right, exactly. They're attracted to the salt. Not, you know, it's not the blood so much as it's the salt.
That's cool.
Okay. So I have a listener that's called in and wanted to ask you a question, so I'm going to bring them in now, Chelsea.
Sure.
And see if it works. Right, Ken, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here. Hey, I got a question I'd like to ask you. I was listening to you talk about the water with blister, the vampire. And my
right.
thing is this, a lot of the old vampire movies, some of them actually went out until they rained, when it was raining, you know, and they didn't get burnt. So what's the difference between this vampire and the other vampires?
Well, this is my story, and that's the way I describe it. And there, if they go out in the rain, it burns them, unless
okay.
it's salt water. So they can swim in like the ocean with salt
right.
water ocean, you know, and they can take baths in salt water. But any kind of water, if it doesn't have salt in it, it burns them like fire.
Oh wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
What? So this book that you're written, it's based on a story that somebody told you about?
No, this is my story. Came out of my head.
Yeah,
it's called Twisted Dream Dead Moon.
Okay. Fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, definitely going to be a one. It's different. I mean, that's one thing I like about it. It's different than most vampire stories where a vampire can't go up because it's raining. I mean, he does, you know, he can get blisters or something like that. So it's definitely, it shows a little bit of a, almost a human side of the vampire too, you know?
Exactly.
To a degree.
Exactly.
I like it.
And a lot of, and you know, also my vampire actually believes in God. He believes that God made him a vampire. That's why he was born a vampire.
So
to help get rid of the bad people.
Right, in your book, is he tortured by that or anything like that, or is it a middle
thing? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my lead character prays throughout the book. You know, she's always praying, and, you know, and he even says that he believes in God, and he believes that God made him a vampire to help get rid of the bad people in the world and get rid of the filth.
I'll tell you what, he's got a lot of filth to get rid of, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'll tell you what, this vampire, it sounds like this vampire will be around a while then. I mean, that's what
yeah,
like.
Definitely.
Unless he gets caught in monsoon season, then he's kind of screwed.
What now?
Unless he gets caught in monsoon season, then he might be kind of screwed.
Yeah, but exactly.
A couple of good questions. Thanks for calling in, Ken. I'm going to put you back on mute, and you can listen to the rest of the show. You can stick around with us. We got about 4.5 minutes, folks, and then we go into archive. If you're on the line with us, you can continue to listen to the conversation. We've got Chelsea Rain. We've got Tim Hoover is still in with us. We've got Scott Spangler is still in with us. And now I do have a question for you, Chelsea. If Rain bothers
Dennis, yeah. Real quick, let's do plugs for life.
All right, yeah, we'll make sure to get the plugs in. Then I'll ask my question for you, Chelsea. Scott, let me get you to throw your plugs out for Seven Cities and whatever else you've got coming up.
Well, I'd like to thank Chelsea for coming out and being a part of the Paracon and everybody who did. And I wish the weather had been better, but
we had a blast.
Yeah, the date would be better. Yeah. Well, I'm glad y'all did. I'm glad y'all came out.
Thank you. We enjoyed it. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome.
And did you want to plug Seven Cities?
Well, I mean,
any of that?
What's that again?
You got your Facebook and a .com or anything?
SevenCitiesParanormal.com. Yeah, SevenCitiesParanormal.com. And we'll go pretty far to do an investigation. We serve Eastern Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, folks, make sure to look them up if you have pumping going on in your house. Chelsea, let's make sure that we get your plugs out there for a website, Facebook, how they can reach you.
All right. It's TwistedDreamDeadMoonMovie.com. And actually, you can go read a little bit of the book at DragonflyDagger.com. That's actually my book website. And then, of course, you can find me on Facebook, Chelsea Rain. And then you can also find Twisted Dream Dead Moon, our movie page. So, come check us out. Hello. And make sure you like it. We're trying to get a lot
of
likes.
You have to give it the little thumbs up. That's what makes it more interesting to sponsors and the actors and staff that you're looking for, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you do look her up, keep in mind she is looking for extras, role actors, all kinds of staff to help make the movie happen.
Yes,
so
and make
crew, sure you look
big
her up.
Time. Awesome. Thank you.
And not a problem. Stick with us. Don't go away because I still got some questions for you, and we can get to them. Even though we aren't live, they will still be able to listen. All those that are online with us, which right now I think I've got 6 on the tone board listening in. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another fantastic episode of Full Spectrum Radio. Like I said, we had Scott Spangler and Tim Hoover, both from Seven Cities Paranormal. And we're still in with Chelsea Rain, Twisted Dream Dead Moon Movie.com. And I am CPR Dennis. With me, as always, and kind of guiding me, trying to keep me out of trouble, is CPR Matt. It doesn't work to keep me out of trouble very well. But you can find us at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis at Facebook and Twitter. You can find us at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers.com and the Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight to Full Spectrum Radio. We've had a blast. Ross, my little Canadian buddy, thanks, brother.
And we have 18 seconds. And we go into archive. But like I said, even in archive, those that are tuned in or dialed in can still listen. Now,
yes.
Okay, my question.
Wait. Go on. Thank you. And for everything Dennis said. All right. Record.
Okay,
I had to get one thank you in there. Come on.
Yeah, Matt's got to have his 2 cents.
Gotcha.
I do the plug roll. He does the thank you. Now, my question for you, if rain bothers them, what about sunshine? I mean, most every vampire movie you've ever seen, they melt, they turn to dust, they're a puddle of goo on the floor when the sunshine hits them. How about your vampire?
You missed that whole conversation.
They disappear. They disappear when the sun hits them. They disappear.
That was probably while I was screaming too. That's why
yeah.
I missed
yeah.
it.
Yeah, in the shade they come back, but in the sunlight they disappear.
Okay.
So they're there. You just can't see them.
That's also kind of like Dennis.
Yeah. Sunlight. I'm so pale, I disappear. Smartass.
That's there's two things that I, well, one thing I say about Dennis, and I don't like to refer to spirits as ghosts. I adopted the term from somebody else, and I can't remember where it originated, but Transparent American.
Transparent American.
And Dennis falls into that category as well.
Yeah.
That's cool. Just keep in mind, Matt, I'm still sitting at the board. I can let them hear what you sound like after a drunken night hanging out with ghost hunters for us.
Yeah, we've already heard it twice. Oh, what the hell? Go ahead. Go ahead. You want to set it up first?
Well, you go ahead and set it up while I... Oh, never mind. I found it. So this is what I end up getting on a recording from Matt after he spends, oh, I don't know, how damn long standing at the bar with the Ghost Hunters crew doing shots and shooters.
With Zach?
Hanging out with Steven Gonzalez, Dave Tango, and Grant Wilson.
Oh, okay.
And Bruce was there for a little bit. Bruce was there for a little bit.
It puts the lotion on his skin or else it gets fucking,
Oh my gosh.
This is at like 3:30 in the morning. We were both pretty hammered.
Oh, play the one before we went out.
Oh yeah, the one that started before we even left the hotel. No wait. No, that was one. No wait.
It puts the lotion on the skin, or else it gets the hose again.
That would be me doing the hysterical laughter right before I rolled off the damn bed laughing at him.
He actually did fall onto the floor. Give you a little backstory. We were talking about characters in movies and like being creepy and all that stuff, and I brought up Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. I have, not Buffalo Bill, but the actor who played him, I have actually met and hung out with.
Oh, wow.
And he's friends with a gentleman that I have worked with for years and years and years. Well, not anymore. He's retired now, but... for the same actor who played Buffalo Bill is also the one that was the chief in Monk. Then.
Okay.
Amongst his other IMDb stuff. But, yeah. So, I was saying that I thought that the Buffalo Bill character was really, really creepy. Then, we were at a Paracon, so it was all about creepiness. And, yeah. Oh, and Dennis, I do have to tell, and I looked at this. I actually brought it up on YouTube. I have the speech of what he does wrong. So we're going to have to get hammered again. I'm going to have to redo it.
Oh, okay. Oh, this can always go bad.
Hey, perfectionist tea with me. So.
Hey, I have an idea, Matt. Now, Chelsea is looking for people to be crew. Part of it is that you will be live-in with, well, I'm not real sure who the live-in part would be with, but...
That would be Will Hall and his son, who's James Hall, and then our editor, Hunter Lanier. And they're
okay.
Really great people. And they're easy to get along with, and they've got tons and tons of film equipment, and he just needs the help, you know?
That sounds like a perfect way for you to get the hell out of the Chicago area and get your butt down to this neck of the woods, Matt. I think you need to take them up on that job offer.
There you go. Come on down.
Hey, I'm for it. But the only
Chelsea, we got your first crew person.
Hey, I can act as well. And you know what? I don't know if I have it anymore. But I did for 3 years I used to help out with a local haunted house. Not like a JC's or, you know, one of the major companies that travels the country and puts them on. It was an independent, and that was my role. I was always a vampire.
Oh, really?
And not only was I the vampire, and I wasn't shoved in a room. I worked a room for a little bit, like I worked it for a half hour, but... The coordinators for it always wanted me to work the crowd. So I'd walk around and my whole vampire get up. Nobody had any clue that I was a vampire, so I didn't do the, like, dead face and black eyes and, you know, like, the, like, fake things, like the plastic ones. I did the actual, like, molded ones.
Right.
And I would dress very, very dapper, and I would walk around and just mess with people constantly, and it was hysterical. Like, people in the crowd, I'd walk up behind them, they're like, oh, you know, how's your night going? And with the actual molded things, you can talk, you don't sound weird, you don't sound different, they're not falling out of your face like they actually fit to your teeth.
Right.
And so I'd walk around and I'd just mess with people and be like, oh, well, you know, how's it going? What are you here for? Are you here to get scared? This, that, and the other thing. And then I'd smile and you'd see them go pale. Like, they'd actually have makeup on. They would go pale and I would lunge at them. I mean, full out lunge.
That's funny.
And it would be the shrillest screams you've ever heard in your life. It was so fun. I mean, that's why I did it for 3 years in a row, and it was all volunteer stuff.
That's cool.
But it was so fun. And it got to the point the second year they offered to pay me, and I told them no. I'm like, I'm just I'm just here because I'm enjoying this. Which
sounds
I guess
like
is
a perfect fit.
I guess it's sort of masochistic in a way of like, no, don't give me money. I'm just doing it because I'm enjoying scarring people's emotions. Oh, that. Yeah, there is something wrong with me.
Tried to tell you that. Oh, man. All right, well, I am going to tell you all a huge thank you for joining us. And I will leave you folks alone. So once more, we'll throw out the plugs. Twisted Dream, Dead Moon, movie.com. Make sure to catch up with Chelsea Rain on Facebook. Scott Spangler, Seven Cities Paranormal. Thank you both so much for joining us. Tim already bugged out on us, so I can't
thank
him.
Yeah, Tim's phone died.
Uh-oh. Yeah, mine's probably just died, too.
Blast.
Well, y'all have an awesome evening. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me, too, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
And for both of you, as stuff advances, if you have anything coming up you want to promote it, you're welcome back any time that you want, for as long as you want. It's I definitely appreciate it.
Right,
we appreciate you having us.
All right, y'all have a good evening.
You do the same, Chelsea.
You
thanks
too.
Very much, honey. Keep in touch.
Oh, I will, definitely.
Like I said, I'm just across town from you. Anything I can do to help, don't hesitate to give me a buzz, and I'll do what I can for you, dear.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have
bye.
A good night.
Okay,
good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, Scott. Thanks
good
for
night.
Having us as well, brother. You know how
no
to
problem, brother.
Me too, sir. Anytime. If you need anything.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
Matt, what do you think, brother? Another awesome episode in the books?
I think it was another amazing fucking show. So,
yeah,
now that we're an archive, we can drop the F-bomb. But,
yeah.
No, I definitely want to thank Chelsea, Scott, and Tim. They're everything that everybody has going on, and this is one thing that I love about doing the radio show, and I know that you're with me on this. There's so many people that have so many awesome things going on that a lot of other people don't get to hear about or find out about. And it's an outlet. Like, we don't do the show for us unless the guest cancels and then we have to fill 2 hours worth of our nonsense. But just in general, I love doing it so other people who have amazing ideas, who have amazing gifts, who have amazing whatever, can just talk about it. And even if everybody who was listening tonight knows somebody who was on the show, if there was one person that didn't, then they're going to be able to find out about that person and look into it if they touch that person. Not inappropriately. I mean, like, their heart.
Yeah, and, well, touch them inappropriately and you end up talking to them.
Yeah, like the sheepskin condom, not the whole sheep.
Yes, yes. Remember, take the skin off the sheep. You don't wear the whole damn sheep for a sheepskin condom. It's just strange, brother. I can't believe I had to tell you that one all over again. But okay. All right, brother. I'm going to throw us out of here. It has definitely been a fantastic show. We had a lot of great laughs, shared some good information, learned about a fantastic book, movie forthcoming. So, once again, I am CPR Dennis. He is CPR Matt. You can find us at Facebook and Twitter under both of those names.
You can catch us at ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com and Facebook. Say goodnight, Matt.
But was that a demand?
No, I was hoping it would work out kind of like the old George Burns. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Oh. Good night, everybody!
And I think for the fact that I am headed for bed very, very shortly as I'm exhausted, this is a perfectly fitting song. So a little bit of interesting, man, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, real quick, the one thing I do want to say is I have to apologize to Stephanie. Did you talk to Stephanie in screening or no?
No, she never keyed that she was interested in talking. So if they don't, I don't pick it up.
Okay.
If they don't push one to speak with the host, when they push one to speak with the host, I get a little question mark beside the microphones. And that tells me they don't speak with us, and that's when I jump over. Otherwise, I assume they're just tuned in to listen.
You know what? I think she might have been the Skype one, and Stephanie, I do apologize if you're still listening.
She's already broke connection. But yeah, she was on the Steffi something on screen, but like I said, she never pressed the one to let me know that, or to let the board know, or to have it notify me that they wanted to speak with the host, so I did not know.
So we definitely do apologize. If you have any questions, you can let us know. We'll ask them. I mean, we'll even throw out a whole three-way phone conversation if you're still listening. So do apologize for that. I truly am sorry. We had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea that somebody wanted to speak to us or to our guests, but I take it you got a message?
Yes, I'm talking to our messenger right now.
Right, well, tell her I do apologize, but the board never notified me that she wanted to speak with us. I thought she was just called in to listen.
Well, we'll work it out.
Okie dokie.
So.
All right,
brother. Love you, Ben. And another great show. And I will talk to you very, very soon.
Yes, sir. And I remember, don't call me Saturday night. I'll be at St. Albans Sanatorium.
I'm still going to call you, asshole.
I won't answer. Oh, you can call me asshole, but I won't answer a phone. Thanks for listening all evening, Barbara. It's been great. Fantastic program. And now we can have a little bit of Sandman just to tell us good night.
Good night, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother.